Last time, on Bucci.
Marco.
Hello.
Marco.
Hello.
Sweetness is kind of bitter. And my, like, wrinkled hand will reach out to the, stranger who finds me on the street. Anyway, let's stop talking about my deathbed. You ever play Marco Polo? I'm talking to you. Call up and tell me my cat's gonna be okay. I would appreciate that. But primarily, we're playing Marco Polo on the radio.
Marco!
Mom!
Polo. What do you want?
Jim! Let's play some Marco Polo.
Do I have to be blindfolded in some way?
Yes!
Oh.
Are you supposed to stay in one place?
No!
Marco!
Polo!
What was your other idea for the show? This was Marco.
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 Is that you? I got you. Oh my god, I grabbed your hand. How about that?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like an awesome sport.
It was a good sport until Marco turned out to be a huge racist.
Marco.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Easy does it there. You're going to be Marco and I'm going to be Polo. Wait.
Okay.
What did I do last time?
Yeah.
I gotcha! Oh, you got me. You're made of paper. That's weird.
Yeah, it needs to be clear who's who, I think.
Marco! What was that?
You have to say Polo.
Marco.
What have you been feeding this cat?
Polo.
His nose is all snuffly. You said that his nose was not snuffly, but it is.
Are you familiar with the phrase, jumping the shark?
Marco! Marco! Marco!
Polo!
Marco! Marco! Marco!
Polo!
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 Polo! Polo! You can't catch me! Grab me in the dark, under the bridge. Anthony! Anthony!
Curtis!
Chapel!
Rowan!
Chapel!
Rowan!
Chapel!
And now, this week, on Bucci.
Marco!
Hello.
Gotcha! Right. Hold on. Let's just hold on. Everyone's champing and chomping at their respective bits. Waiting to listen to Bucci. Hold on. All right, I gotta take off the windsock that Mona uses, which is shaped like a heart. And I gotta put the one that Bucci uses.
Bucci.
Which is shaped like a person saying Bucci. It's the only windsock that has a word bubble coming out of it. And that word bubble goes like this.
Bucci.
There it goes. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, everybody! That's a rhetorical statement. Don't answer my friggin' statements. That's not a drink, babe. That's my neck. My neck has orange cola coming out of it. Oh, that feels a lot better. I've been trying to unlock that knot all day long. It's like a, you know, a baby's fist between my shoulder blades there. Right before the show, like 10 minutes before the show, I was like banging my back into a doorknob, the doorknob to Studio A, to kind of like massage it and like, you know, kind of flatten it out. And I was doing that for, like, a while, and then station manager Ken walked by and saw me, and he gave me one of those looks, you know, that says, why are you using a doorknob to massage your neck? And then I gave him a look that said, well, you know, I don't know, it's the only thing. And then he gave me another look that says, hey, you want a massage, just ask me. And then I gave him a look that went, ah, ha, ha! No, that's fine. Thank you very much. And then he gave me a look that said, all right, I'm driving. I'm going home. Been a long week. Oh, I gotta get the right kind of pen here. I can't use a clicky pen because then people complain that they hear the clicking all the time and they think, oh, it's a cicada or something. There's like a friggin' cicada in the studio. Imagine. So, Ken had a busy week, and so did Bucci.
Trust Bucci.
Just trust. You know, people in the chat over there at WFMU.org are saying this guy had a regular week, uneventful. He spent a lot of it watching Frasier. But that's not true. I was super bad. I had, like, errands to do. What I had to do is I had to pick up, like, 7 of my cousins at camp this week. They were all at camp. They were all at summer camp, and they were all, it was basically all getting out on the same week, this past week. And, you know, so I had to pick them up, you know, because I'm still not entirely sure about why. But I did, and, of course, they were all different. They didn't go to one big camp. They went to all sorts of camps, you know, horse camp, archery camp. My little cousin, Bucci, he went to barista camp because his parents seemed to think that that's where his life is going. So they send, well, you got to learn how to do that, like, foam oak leaf in the latte. And he did. He learned how to do it. In the car, he was showing me that he knew how to, like, you know, he could do that. But he didn't have a cup, so he just poured it into my cup holder in my Dodge. And it looked pretty good. What else? John Waters camp. One of my youngest cousins, Bucci, she went to Pasty White Legs camp, where it's all the kids just lie under a patio and just with their legs sticking out, and they just see if they can get a tan. And that's the camp. So she came back with tan legs, but the rest of her body looked bleached, like bone bleached, dead fish in the sun kind of white. So I don't know. Next year she's going to go to tanning torso camp. Man, I gotta write that down. I'm gonna forget. Tanning torso camp. Okay, right. I'll just write TTC. I'll know what that means later. So all sorts of creative camp. Which, you know, these modern camps, when Bucci was a kid, camp was just a place where you got poison ivy and then spent the whole time in the med tent with a cool towel over your pus-filled eyes. That was the camp that I went to. Imagine carving that out of wood over the camp entrance. Just imagine it. Or the camp where you got ostracized, which is a scout camp. But now it's all fun and games. Fun and games and archery and zip lining into a clown mouth. All sorts of fun. But, you know, when I was driving them home, they were all, you know, all different things. They said, like, what was your favorite part of camp? I screamed. They said, well, our favorite time of camp was in the evening after dinner. We would all get out of our tents and sit around a nice campfire and tell spooky stories. You know, we all love that. You can just remember, you're sitting there, sitting on the edge of your bed with your patent leather shoes and your tuxedo waiting to go out for the night. But just remember, you were once a little fat baby who loved sitting around a campfire telling stories with your friends. Stories about what? That's right, Bucci.
Bucci.
They all love telling stories about the DJ. All their favorite ones. The time when Bucci wore track pants to his wedding. The time when Bucci wore track pants to his honeymoon. The time when Bucci wore track pants you know, every day for 5 years now. Time there was a blurb about him on Reddit. That was a good story. Real haunted. Got like 4 upvotes. Freaking solid. Time when, they talk about the show, you know. Oh, remember the Marco Polo show? Boy. That was a show. And then they say, oh, remember the time when Mrs. Bucci came on the show? And they didn't talk too much about that story. They actually, like, that was a very short campfire story. They kind of breezed over that because it's not very interesting, actually. Blah, blah, blah. So I said, you know what? Those are very interesting, but I will tell you a ghost story. I'll tell you some legend, one of the urbanist ones. So, and this is the story I told them. I'll tell it to you. I was going to, you know what? I was going to do this dream charcuterie show. You know, I brought my cutting board and I got all these plums and mortadella. That's it. And I was going to build the perfect charcuterie board with you, but we're not going to do that. I guess I'll just tell you this. Maybe we'll do that at the other second half of the show. But right now, I'm going to tell you a little urban legend. So, once upon a time, there was a guy who. This is what I told my cousins. So imagine you're my cousins, and you're all sitting in a row. There's like 8 of you stuffed in the back of my Dodge. No seatbelts, baby. And this is what I said. Once upon a time, pay attention! Once upon a time, there was a guy who worked at a fur manufacturing company called Steve's Fur and Feathers. And he had gotten this job and he loved it. And he worked there as a stapler. He was, that was his title, senior stapler. And all day long, he would staple fur arms to fur coats, feathers to hats. Ow, that hit me in the eye. Hats to earmuffs, leather hides to plush owls and piglets and starfish. And all night long, he'd pull the staples out with his teeth because apparently he was just supposed to staple price tags to the inner lining of the items and not the fur itself. Oops. He did that day after night after day after night after day after night. And then, one cold and rainy... Are you paying attention? One cold and windy day, his boss and best friend, Steve, took the man aside. The man thought Steve was just going to solidify plans to go see the new Naked Gun movie. But it was not that he wanted to talk about. Steve told the man that his services were no longer needed at Steve's Fur and Feathers. Oh, let me guess, said the man. I guess I know. I'm going to be replaced by AI, right? Steve said, no, you're going to be replaced by AL. He jerked his thumb over and there was a big guy leaning against the wall. He looked like a half-smoked cigarette, this guy. Unbelievable. That's Al, he said. He's starting today. Give him your stapler. And so the man reluctantly gave his staple over and Al started like crazy. The man walked into the streets in shock. His eyes were wet with Sprite. He couldn't believe he had devoted most of this year to working at the furrier, and now it was gone. He had a condo. What was he? How was he supposed to afford the mortgage and property taxes now? Without a job, his current wife would be paying for the whole thing instead of 98% of it. And as he walked the streets, he became more and more enraged. He was just full of rage and also Sprite because he was drinking Sprite the whole time. But that didn't have anything to do with being fired. He tried to put it out of his head. Are you listening? He tried to put it out of his head, but he couldn't. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. He told his therapist, Steve, about it, but he was no help. He said, just get another job. I don't know what to tell you. It's a tough world out there. And so one night, the man went back to the factory, and the place was lit up like a real crappy birthday cake. And the man peered into the window, and he saw Al sitting on a bench, in his bench, stapling away. The man opened the door and walked in, staring at Al and the place where he used to work, so 48-hour shifts. Suddenly, a Molotov cocktail was in his hands. Suddenly, it was lit. Suddenly, it was smashing against the wall. And with frightened, scary suddenness, the furs and feathers hanging on the wall burst into flames. The whole wall, an ungodly sound came from them. This is the furs making that noise. And then an ungodly cawing. That was like the feather part. Al fled in terror, but the man did not. He stayed spinning in a circle, sound of music style. Spinning and spinning in the conflagration. And then a beam snapped. And a rack of burning fur coats and feathers fell on the man, burying him alive. And then burying him dead. So after that, after the whole building had burned down, Steve packed up what was remaining of his inventory and just moved across town, Tribeca, where he opened a new business, Steve's Fur and Intimate Apparel. You'll know what intimate apparel is, you know, when you grow up. I shouldn't even be talking to you about... Forget I said that. This is what they say. They say if you walk by that warehouse and then walk into the ruins of the still unoccupied, ruinous, burned-down warehouse, there's a single fur coat hanging on a wall. And they say, if you put your ear to it, you'll hear its heartbeat. And also, you'll hear it plug its podcast. The end. That's a good story, huh? That's what I said. And they liked it. So that was the story that I told them. That one is as old as time. And there are others, you know. So I got to thinking about the nature of these urban legends and the nature of where they come from and what they mean. They come out of our ancient brains and they kind of are in our urban environments, our famously urban environments, and they become something like a representation of those environments. So, but a lot of these things, we've heard them a million times before, billion times before. We've heard the story of Bloody Mary, Candyman, a station manager, Ken, you say his name three times, and he says, I heard you the first time. All these famous urban legends that we've been telling for a long, long time. So I think this week, what I want to do is make a new urban legend. The perfect, the most scary and meaningful and thrilling tale with a moral and like a cautionary lesson tagged into the end of it. I want everyone to come together and let's see if we can scare the pants off each other. And then this will be in the zeitgeist. And the next camp that my cousins go to, they'll be sitting around the campfire telling this story. They better, anyway. So, that's after the break. Now, let's hear the tale, the old ancient tale of the alien tarantula that snuck aboard a ship and made its way to England, where it laid eggs in Big Ben. It's Sleaford Mods, Tarantula Deadly Cargo. Only on WFMU.
don't forget to call in on the topic. The topic of the day is...
Let's make a new urban legend.
So call in with your response now. 201-209-9368. That's 201-209-9368. One more time, 201-209-9368. And give Bucci your answer now. Now, back to the music.
Alien Dad, dropping lethal cargo on the ship. Tarantula, deadly cargo. It's vented.
Jeez, that song just ends. Wow, listen to that loop. Perfect. Hey, this is Bucci.
Bucci.
Coming to you from Studio A in fabulous downtown Jersey City. That was, you just listened to Tarantula Deadly Cargo by Sleaford Mods off of their album P Markets. How about that? Sleaford Mods. I do care for them. I like them. They got interesting, you know, he's an interesting guy. Came late in life. He kind of got fame late in life, which I wouldn't know anything about that. And then that other guy who stands next to him and vapes, his beat maker. I don't know. Maybe he's the British RZA. He just kind of keeps churning out these beats. They never change. They're the whole beginning of the song, the end of the song. They just never go anywhere. But they're catchy and, you know, and then he's, like, political, which is great as well. Anyway, that was that. 201-209-9368. We're not talking about the Sleaford Mods or any other bands that came out of their wake that sound just like them now. We're talking about urban legends. We want to build the perfect, most urban, most scary urban legend possible. Everyone gets to contribute a little bit until we have this big, unwieldy monster that comes out of the woods and frightens a semicircle of kids. Caller, you go, Bucci. No, you don't.
Sorry.
Hey, who's this?
It's Zach or Rod. I'm doing it.
Oh, hey, Zach. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You sound bad.
I sound bad? What? Why? What,
like, emotionally.
Well, yeah.
You're weak, you know. It was just an average week for you.
Well, it was a busy one. I mean, I like hanging out with my cousins, you know, the youth. You know, it's good to hang out with the youth.
It is. You going to make any youth? You going to start a family?
What do you mean by start a family?
Well, expand beyond plants and cats.
Oh, you mean have a child?
Well, yeah, I mean, human is another way to expand a family.
No, I'm not going to have a family. I have too much Bucci to do. It would be unfair to the children. Because daddy would always be, where's daddy? Oh, he's in the closet doing Bucci.
What about
that?
Pop?
What does that mean?
You open to pop or papa or?
What do you mean, am I open to pop? You mean?
I mean, you picked out daddy. That's what you were going to.
Oh, instead. Yes. Right. Well, that's what I imagine they would call. But I hope they would call me Bucci.
Bucci.
But,
yeah. You just, you know, it's like a reverse dog training,
off
right?
Off topic. So are you starting out our urban legend stories by to the story of the DJ who was an absentee father? I mean, that's a...
That's the story of WFMU in the 70s and 80s, isn't it?
Why just the... Okay, I don't even want to know why it's just the 70s and 80s. Zach,
well, the modern ones, they're back involved. You know, the kids, they at least know the broken family.
But that's because of ChatGPT, though, right?
Yeah, well, if you load it up, if you can get a hold of your parents' diaries and stuff, it gets scary. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I got a hold of my dad Bucci's diary, and let me tell you, you want to have urban legend? That was a haunting one, because it started when he was like 16 and it ended when he was like 40, and when he was a 16-year-old, he was full of poetry and dreams and jazz music, and you know, he's writing all these florid, semi-pretentious letters to people, and then at the end of the series of letters, he had lost all the, you know, it was just basically, I'm fine on all these letters, stop writing me. It just got a little sad there. What am I talking about? I don't want to open up my real life. What I want to open up is this new fantastical urban legend that I'm trying to build, which apparently is just going to be me and you arguing on the radio. The story of
arguing.
The guy, the DJ, and the guy who calls the DJ arguing and talking about children. Is that
You brought up the children earlier. You talked about your cousins, the youth.
Okay. So
you sent us down this spiral.
Us. Do you have a setting or an idea for an urban legend, Zachary?
Oh yeah, I would do one.
So
some
loud.
Sort of campus.
Okay,
you
so
know, could be corporate, could be college, university.
So it takes place.
You know, hospital.
It takes place at
a campus.
Okay, a campus. So once upon a time. There was a campus. What's the?
Yeah, leave it open. Let's tag. You know, see where it goes, and then it could get nailed down.
Okay.
But a campus. Everyone understands the concept of a campus, right?
I thought I did, but you mentioned hospitals and stuff. So you
hospital. It's a place where there's more than one structure. It has like a minor.
All right,
campus. You could live there almost.
Okay, so it's a campus, and it's what off season, on season.
Right now? Oh, it's right now. It's the cusp of autumn.
Okay. You're on the cusp of being hung up on. And now, there he goes. Right on the cusp. Call Riga Bucci.
Hi, Bucci. It's Franco.
Hey, Franco. How are you?
All right.
Good. You having a good week?
Fair to middling.
Yeah. Did you have to take any of your little cousins or nephews and niece or nieces anywhere? Do you have to drive around in a Packard, picking them up and dropping them off?
You have a Packard?
No, I was asking if you had a Packard.
No, I don't have a Packard.
That's a shame.
I have a conventional vehicle.
Oh.
Nothing collectible.
Right. Okay. All right, I forgot your name. Franco, the setting of this new urban legend is
okay.
A campus. So let's say it's a college campus or maybe a
All
high
right.
school. Let's say high school because let's say a high school campus.
Okay.
Like a big one in big Southern California style where they shot Melrose Place or 90210, like one of those famous Hollywood campuses maybe.
You're probably talking about Santa Monica High School.
Yeah, is that the one where all the, you know, where Can't Hardly Wait and The Faculty and all those other movies were filmed, probably?
Probably not, but that's the best I could do.
Okay, college.
College-bound
okay,
students.
So high school campus. Big high school campus.
Big, like, 4,000 students.
Hollywood.
Body.
Let's see. I like the idea of a Hollywood campus where all the stars' kids go to, but let's maybe.
Okay, how about Fairfax High?
Okay, doesn't need...
Let's say it's Fairfax.
Okay, Fairfax High School. So this urban legend
yeah.
starts at Fairfax High School in California, right?
Right.
Okay, what else are you bringing to the table? I stapled
okay.
myself to the chair. Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The student who's an overachiever and bullied by the progeny of famous people, that his father is just a scientist at Caltech
Bucci.
In Pasadena, which is, you know, which is
write all this down.
Saying like he cleans the toilets.
Let's
okay,
just
compared
say,
to people that are, have like a, you know, parents who are in a sitcom.
Right.
Okay, so he wanders off at lunchtime. He can't stand to eat lunch with these people. So
it's a bully child. Bully child.
Foods.
Hey, Franco, can I just underline something? So we're talking about this is a story about a bullied, isolated child, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the bullied, isolated child, what happens then?
Well, he leaves the campus because he can't stand eating with all those people that are making his life miserable.
Bullied kid.
And he goes to the Whole Foods.
Goes.
And he goes for, you know, just to comfort himself.
Goes to Whole Foods.
Someone mentioned that it was fall. Okay, it's already, there's a nip in the air. Not really.
Don't say
I mean, but come on, let's put that nip in the air. There's never
Please
a nip in the air in fall.
Stop saying. All right.
Okay. But on this particular day, there is, for the sake of this story.
All right.
And he wanders over to where, you know, they have
the
counter with ready-made soup.
So this is, let me just get this thing. I'm trying to reiterate so people listening can follow along and call 201-209-9368 if you want to participate in this urban
yeah.
legend. We're building a new urban legend for the 20th century.
Yeah.
And All right, so a bullied child goes to Whole Foods, gravitates towards the soup section.
Okay.
Yes.
He looks in all of them, you know, the vegan lentil, the tomato bisque.
We don't need to, you know what? A lot of urban legends don't want to get bogged down in a lot of soup talk.
There has to be some suspense.
Right.
So
what soup he gets?
The zucchini and noodle soup, and there's this face comes bubbling up.
Okay, I like this. So there's a face bubbling up in a pot of zucchini soup. Zucchini soup.
Yeah.
All right.
Gluten-free noodles. And he says this to the frightened, face. Bullied, hungry student. I've done my part.
So what does he say? What does the face...
What does the face in the soup say?
Say to the boy.
Bucci.
Okay, that's a good one, Franco. You got us started and finished. Thanks.
All right.
Goodbye. So right now, we have a high school campus, which is apparently not even really, it was just a jumping ground for the rest of the story. A high school kid who was bullied. Well, I don't know why he was bullied. Maybe he was asking for it. Let's see. Was he asking for it? I'm going to write some kids bring it on themselves. Question mark, exclamation point. So this kid, this bullied child, no name, goes to Whole Foods, and he goes into the soup section. It doesn't have to be Whole Foods. It can be the soup section of maybe a mom and pop, maybe a local business. Maybe this bullied kid should be supporting a local business instead of a conglomerate owned by a monstrous billionaire in a puffy vest. So maybe he's supporting a local soup emporium like, I don't know, I go to Whole Foods for my soup. So he goes to the soup section. He opens up one of the pots. He's going to steal some of this soup probably. He brought his own garbage bag. And just as he pulls the label out to do this, a face bubbles up.
Beep, 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 beep.
That's enough. Bubbles up, and its mouth opens. Bubbles up from the soup, its mouth opens, and says what? We might never find out. 201-209-9368. What can this soup... So the face could say 201-209-9368. I was talking about... When I was another kid... Back in the day, I heard the in Rhode Island there was a story of a band, Drop Dead, whose songs were so short they may never have existed. And I said, "Oh, there was this band, a grindcore band called Drop Dead, and their songs were so short, if you blinked, you missed them." And they say that this band is still out there grinding away. Like 30 years, they're so good, Drop Dead. Caller, you got Bucci.
Oh, hello, this is Chris from Ridgewood.
Hey, Chris from Ridgewood, how are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing all right, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, depending on this call. It's all on your broad shoulders, Chris from Ridgewood, so let's see how it goes. So right now, you've been following along what we're doing, you know what we're looking for here, or do I have to go back over everything?
No, I know exactly what the face in the soup says.
The face in the soup say, which could be the name, the face in the soup. All right, go ahead, Chris from Ridgewood. What does the face in the soup say? Face in the soup.
He tells the kid.
Not necessarily a man, it's just a face.
Yeah. He's the student from the school.
Okay, so the student says to the face. Is that what you're saying?
No. The soup man, the face in the soup.
Gotcha.
It tells the kid.
Okay.
He says, "Give me your phone." And he's saying that he wants to be the next big TikTok influencer. And the only way he can do that is by taking the kid's phone into the soup.
Okay, so the soup face is going to create its own, wants to create his own content. He wants to be a TikTok star, but he doesn't have a phone. And so it's bubbled up to the surface, not to frighten the child, but to see if the kid has a phone. And so then he can generate more soup content.
Exactly.
What's the most creamiest soup? It'll be, I can see the soup face now holding up its, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to make the easiest borscht that you've ever seen, and it's only three ingredients. And then it will tell the viewers how to make something like that.
Even like that, I was almost imagining the face in the soup, like, wants to do, like, dances and, like, lip sync and
stuff.
Oh,
it's more of a, it's not going to do, okay, so it wants to do its, okay. So the face goes, do the voice.
Oh, give me your phone, kid.
Okay, real gruff face. Okay, and then and the kid drops the phone into the soup.
Yeah,
and then he hears the, and then he immediately starts doing some content, some dances.
I'm not even sure if he just immediately does the dances. I almost
so the soup has legs and arms, and or is it just kind of sloshing around in this pot, and that's kind of the way soup dances?
Yeah, it's just kind of sloshing around, like making ripples and waves and whatnot.
I see. And that's going to blow up? You think that in this environment, in this saturated TikTok environment, you think that's going to break through?
No, I don't, but the soup does.
Bucci.
The soup does. Well, I hope it works out for the soup. Okay, Chris from Ridgewood, I like this. Because maybe it'll go down the line. We can tell a little morality tale about the dangers of getting sucked into the influencer culture and the just the brevity of that thing.
It's an urban legend for the modern generation.
Right, the 20th century. All right, thanks, Chris from Ridgewood. I appreciate it. That's a good good suggestion. And I do mean suggestion. None of this is in. None of this is campfire ready yet. Bucci's got to polish this thing up. Probably rewrote like 98% of it. Okay, 201-209-9368. Well, we're talking. We did. A call dropped, which is understandable. You got things to do, but call up 201-209-9368. So far, we have the urban legend. I wish I had creepy music. Do I have creepy music? The urban legend is a story of a bullied child. All right, this is the campfire. Once there was a kid who, we got a call. Caller Igabuchi.
Yeah, this is Miss Double G.
Who is it?
Miss Double G.
Miss Double G?
So no, Ms.
Yeah.
Mrs.
Okay, Ms. Yes, Ms. Is that Ms. What is the second part of after Ms.?
Double G.
Okay, Ms. Double G. All right, Ms. Double G. M-I-Z Double G. What do you got? You want to contribute to this urban legend that we got going on here?
Yeah, I would.
I need another piece
so
of
the soup does get really popular.
Okay, so the soup has now blown up. So, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, and now he has his own line of soups at the grocery stores.
So what is? So we haven't really nailed down the content. What is the soup thing doing to get so to blow up? So.
Yeah, well, he was doing his dances on TikTok.
He was doing dance. So we use his sloshes. Let's just call him his sloshes.
Yeah, he was sloshing around. He got really popular. Everyone started doing the slosh in nightclubs.
Doing the slosh in the nightclub. I like that.
He was on TV. He has sinister plans.
I see. So he's getting bigger and bigger, or it's getting bigger and bigger, and all the kids are doing the slosh. Could you, I know we can't see you, but could you maybe do a little example of a, you know, just so we can all picture this sloshing dance?
It's like, whoa.
All right. Check. All right. So, and then what? What's the ulterior motive that this soup thing has, you think?
Well, once he blows up and gets into stores, everyone that eats it starts getting really sick. And it turns out he actually hates TikTok. Oh. And he wants to hurt everybody that uses it.
Store. Okay, so he uses his fame on TikTok to open his own soup store. So now present the soup monster opens his own soup store, but the soup is poisonous. He uses his his viral nature to create an actual virus or something, a viral outbreak. It's so ironic.
This links back because on campus he got killed because he choked on soup.
Who did? The boy?
Well,
I feel like the boy has been lost in this story, but that's okay. You know, it's now about the soup monster, no longer about the boy. But I mean, maybe the boy is the boring part of the story. Okay, so the soup monster has started to, has a lot of, go ahead, who's choking on soup?
Well, everybody's choking on soup. But the professor had choked on soup at the campus, and that's why he needs to get back at everybody, because he doesn't like young kids, because, you know, no one saved him when he was choking.
Wait a minute. Okay, the soup monster is a professor? It's a dead professor who died and then it was buried in soup or something like that? And now he's coming back?
Yeah, he died.
All right. He died. Okay. Boy. All right. Thank you, Ms. Double G. I appreciate you calling. It's good to hear from you, that you exist.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Ms. Double G. Okay. All right, so, boy, look at all these pieces of paper here. A lot of them just have curse words and written on them, but that was from before I got on the radio. So, all right, so there was a... Wait, hold on. Once, there was this kid who was bullied. We don't know, maybe he was bullied because he deserved it. But to escape his bullies, he went to a Whole Foods, and he did the only thing that makes him comfortable and happy when he's after being shoved against a locker. Let's loop that, eh? He went directly to the soup aisle, and he opened up the label, the soup, and it was this zucchini thing, which was new. They were trying the zucchini soup out, and he took the label out, but before he did, there was a face that bubbled up from the bottom of this tureen, and it said, "Can I have your phone? Can I see your phone for like 2 seconds?" And it reached its soupy little hand, which was basically a soup hand, but had the zucchini fingers, and the boy gave him his phone for some reason, and the soup monster said, "Yeah, great, I'll be right back with it," and then sunk back into the soup, and the boy was like, "Oh, God, what? No!" But the soup monster had plans for this phone, cell phone. Once he had it, it downloaded TikTok and immediately started creating that content. He's trying to get that thimble of glory that all influencers are going after. And it started doing a dance. You know, what do you do to get viral on TikTok is do a dance. So it started doing this dance called the slosh, which is basically it's sloshing around. And sloshing to the right and sloshing to the right. And it blew up. It blew up! And it started, everyone started doing the slosh. And he got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it was interviewed. It went on that Saturday morning CBS show with The Sun. I don't know what the name of that show is. And it, you know, "Well, I've never seen us. Tell us about how you came up with the slosh." And the super would go, "Well, just look at me. I'm sloshing around." Like, oh, man, you turned a negative into a positive. Big thing you didn't think with it. You got legs. You didn't even think that you could do it, but you did it. And the soup said, "Well, I got some plans for, I got an announcement to make." And they said, "What?" And the soup monster said, "I'm opening a new store, and it's going to be called Soup Soup. And it will feature all the soups, and it'll be delicious. Because I, you know who knows how to make a soup? A soup does." This loop is one of the worst loops I've ever had. All right. So everyone started flocking to the soup soups, and they loved it. It was so creamy, and if it didn't want the cream, they had like a regular chicken broth based, and they had vegan, and they even had zucchini soup, which was the kind of soup that soup was. But soon, unexpected, people started getting sicker and more sick and sick. And they started dropping dead from this soup because the doctor would cut them open and this kind of gross soup would pour out of them. And it was noxious and it smelled terrible. And they said, this soup is poisoned. And the soup in its little tureen behind the counter went... Because that was his plan all along, and it had used social media to further its wicked little plan. And then the ending is a little confusing because it turned out the soup was actually the ghost of a professor on the high school campus, and he had choked on soup, and it had, I really wish I wasn't saying soup so much. It choked on soup. It revenged itself because of that. It wanted, like, well, if I choke on soup, everybody's got to, which is so selfish. Also, I don't even know how you, what are you, choking on a meatball? Is that a Bucci adage? No. And so we don't have, I don't feel like this is the end of the, this is enough of the campfire. I feel like this, oh, here comes Billy Jam. How you doing?
Good, man.
Rattling in. So I feel like this urban legend is not campfire ready. I feel like if we told this around a campfire, people would be a little disappointed. I feel like they're like, what's the end? What's the moral? What does this tell? You know, the only thing I can think of, it's like, you know, the noxious pointlessness of TikTok dances. But like that is not, first of all, I mean, they're very fun to watch. But also that is not, I mean, that's pretty pat. It's a kind of a boring observation. Oh, TikTok dances, they aren't so great. And also there's this, you know, maybe it's about letting hate eat away at you like so much bisque, you know? And you blame things that are beyond your control, and you take your actions out, all the hate and your own angst, you take it out on everybody else. People just want to have a nice bowl of chowder. The white chowder.
Can I say something?
Go for it.
I got angst in my pants and I want to dance.
All right. So thanks very much, Billy. And that's the end of the story, except for the very end when they all gather around and lean forward and they go, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online and all the time at WFMU.org. Up next, the man, Billy Jam. Put the needle on the record. What are you on here, Billy?
Two.
Oh, you're on turntable two?
Yeah.
Who listens to Bucci? You, Ducci.
I do.